the harvest is ripe, but the laborers are few. Why did he use that word?
God goes to extreme measures to bring the lost to himself.
The greatest gift you will ever give this world is your intimacy with God.
The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three inside of me. I've got the power right now.
I think what Jesus really wants is people to go. I want to be the answer to Jesus' prayer request.
Welcome to the Fuel for the Harvest podcast.
When this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, then shall the end come.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. This is Nathan.
And this is Charlie. We're your hosts for today. Thank you guys so much for joining. And we just want to dive into the topic of prayer, and specifically how or when God answers prayer. I think when we pray, we can get really angsty and really frustrated really quickly.
It's true.
Like, why hasn't God answered yet? I wanted him to answer yesterday. I've been praying for 2 hours. Now that's exaggerated, but we're in a fast food culture, so it's not that far off to be like, bro, I prayed for 2 days and there's no answer. Should I give up? And then I've also met people who have said, man, I've been praying for my family for 10 years and nothing has happened yet. I've probably shared in the past, God had put Somalia on my heart and gave me a vision for Somalia. And I almost gave up on it. I was like, Lord, it's been years. Nothing has happened. I don't know what to do. I guess maybe I was supposed to just pray for a little bit and let it be. Mm-hmm. And then 9 years later, God flung open the door of opportunity, brought a partnership, brought a connection. And now all the stories you've heard about Somalia with Bibles being distributed in places where they have not been, people coming to Christ in places of terrorism and projects happening in these places. All sorts of awesome kingdom movement going on in Somalia right now. But it took 9 years of prayer until God finally answered. And so it just got me to thinking, why is it that God would delay answering sometimes? He's outside of time. So there's this interesting theological dynamic of we're in time waiting. He's outside of time. There's other factors going on. And maybe there's various reasons why God wouldn't answer right away. But I've been really thinking about that recently.
It's a really good question to ask. And I imagine that there's a lot of people out there. And I know what brought up this topic for us is you have a small group at your house that was meeting and asking these very questions, especially in light of when should I just like trust God in prayer and like just pray generally, and when should I pray specifically? And I think that
gets into even a whole nother sphere of it, because right. There's the topic of, hey, when is God going to answer and why does he delay? And then you get into what should I pray for specifically and what should I not pray for specifically?
Right. And I think that the scriptures have a way of kind of giving us bits and pieces of the answer. Like, I don't know if I can point at any one scripture and be like, this is the end all be all for prayer. For example, I'm thinking about Luke 11:5-9, which is the parable of the man who goes to his neighbor's house and he's knocking on the door and he's like, hey, I have a guest came in. I need some bread. Can you give me some bread? And as the story goes on, the neighbor whose door is being pounded on is like, man, I my kids are already in bed. Leave me alone. But the persistence of the neighbor keeps going and going. And finally, the guy gets him some bread. And then Jesus concludes this by saying, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. So if you take that passage all by itself, all of a sudden your mind begins to wander like, okay, so if I just ask enough times, will God give me a Ferrari, right? But you can't take one passage out of context, of course, because there's a whole series of passages in the Bible that teach us about prayer. Yeah. One of the notable ones that would contradict that conclusion would be out of the book of James, where he says, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions.
Yep.
So
if you're asking for your own desires, hey, God's not going to answer that. Or he right. is. He is going to answer. Let me correct myself. He'll just say, no. It's still an answer. Yeah. That's interesting. I think
all that to say, I think that, like, as followers of Jesus, the important thing in prayer is that we take all of these things together. Let's not just isolate one passage alone and be like, oh, this is my theology on prayer. This is my belief system on prayer. Let's look at the full diversity of the passages and say, okay, so on one hand, it's like, yes, ask and ask and ask and ask. And then on the other hand, recognize that you better be asking for what God wants you to be asking for his glory, or the answer is just going to be no. And when we take these things together, all of a sudden our understanding of prayer and our beliefs about prayer begin to get better and better, in my opinion, more and more biblical.
Yeah. There's a couple things I'm thinking about. One is prayer is not only about us getting what we should have or want.
Mm-hmm.
It's about our hearts aligning with God's heart. And prayer is just a simple concept of communication with God. So mm-hmm. if you rearrange that to be like, oh, wait, prayer is not me just asking to get what I want. It's a communication conversation with God. Like, you're not going to view asking your friend for something and he says no or later, and you're not going to be like, bro, I'm just so upset. You didn't give me what I needed this very second. How mm-hmm. dare you didn't drive across town, leave your job and come help me because I sent you a text. It's like, right. No, it's a conversation. And it's the same way with God. It's a conversation. That's what prayer is. So that's one piece. And then our hearts being formed and shaped to align with his heart in this world. Something else, a verse I was just thinking about in John 14, it says this, Jesus speaking, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Oh, by the way, in case you didn't hear him the first time, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. So again, that goes back to, okay, you brought up the verse in Luke 11 of persisting in prayer.
Mm.
Now we have this verse of asking in his name in prayer. So does that mean if I persist, I just missed doing it in his name? So now if I persist in his name, in Jesus' name, give me the Ferrari. Oh, sorry, again, in Jesus' name, the Ferrari will come, Lord, please. Like, no, it's not. The key is in his name. While I really believe declaring the name of Jesus out loud is important and powerful, that phrase means so much more than only that. It means right. in his person, in his character, in the fullness of who he is and what he stands for. So if you begin to align your heart with God's and pray in the character of who he is, in the things that he stands for, in the things that he's up to, all of a sudden you're going to see like, wow, his hand is moving powerfully, and I'm seeing it because I'm praying for things that he already desires to accomplish.
Mm. It's so good. And I love that you brought us back to like, what really is prayer? Because I feel like in our modern Christian world, there are several different camps. One of the common ones that I see is prayer is just this thing that I do because I'm a good Christian. It's like going for a spiritual jog. Like I'm exercising as a Christian. And so this is one of the exercises I do. And I think that we have to disenfranchise ourselves from that idea and recognize that it really isn't just like something that we do just for the sake of being busy or for the sake of exercising ourselves spiritually. Like it really is the basis of it is something a lot deeper than that and a lot more profound. I think another one of the camps that I find people in is like, yes, prayer is a way for me to connect with God, but then we talk about prayer as if it is itself God. Like I've been praying a lot, like as if the words themselves somehow are amazing or majestic. Like we point to prayer as if it's this amazing thing versus the God behind prayer being the amazing thing. And so as we continue in this conversation, I think it's important for us to really reflect on that definition that you gave, that it's just being in communication with God. And as we see it truly as communication with God, I think we will practice it more effectively.
Yeah, and scripture tells us to pray without ceasing or to pray constantly. And I've heard it said that Greek language of pray constantly is like the idea of a chronic cough. Mm. Hey man, how you doing today? Yeah, I'm gonna go grab a coffee. It's like it just keeps happening. Mm. And that's what it's like. It's not like you have to make sure your words don't stop. You keep talking because, like, bro, what if I'm sleeping? Is that okay? Or what if I like was talking with somebody else and I wasn't praying in that very second? No, it's an ongoing pattern that you're always looking back to God, listening for Him, talking with Him. Imagine, I think of it like if I was on a road trip with a friend. Yeah, I'm gonna be like, "Oh, dude, did you just see that car drive by?" And then I might be quiet for 5 minutes. "Oh man, did you just see that tree? That was kind of interesting." Or maybe another 20 minutes. "Hey, I was just thinking about this thing in life. You ever thought about this?" And it just might be scattered throughout in this relational connection. You might stop and get gas and be like, "Hey, I'm gonna go grab some snacks. Did you want anything?" And all of a sudden you're just having this conversation. That's, I think, a good reflection of what this looks like in daily life. But that's still, so all that said, there's this matter of praying in God's will, in His name. We've already talked about on former episodes of the podcast, you can go find out praying specifically or specific prayer. We've set the foundation of why we believe that's important, why we believe it's biblical. It builds our faith. It builds our trust. It sees God's kingdom come and impact lives. There are examples of it throughout the scripture, like Elijah who prayed for the rain, or like the man who called out for Jesus. And Jesus, he's like, "Have mercy on me." But then Jesus moves him specifically to say, "What specifically do you want me to do for you?" So there's a precedent for it. But it does beg the question of, okay, so when do I pray specifically and when do I not? And how should I expect God to answer? And so you can see, I would say, in His will, in His name, in His character, you see this in the scripture. Get into the Word of God so you know the things that God cares about. Secondly, I would say you could actually ask Him, "Lord, what's on your heart for this situation? What do you desire? Is there something I should begin to seek out in prayer?" And then begin to pray for that. And He's going to move your heart as you do. And let Him begin to burden you and prompt you, rather than just assuming that you know the full mind of God and what He wants in a situation.
One of the things that I think that's really good wisdom. One of the things that I've learned in my own walk with Jesus is that I need to be careful about the specificity with which I pray, because sometimes He'll give me exactly what I ask for, and it's not always the best possible scenario. So I think bringing those things to God is really good. So, like, one of the things that comes immediately to mind is, for years and years, I prayed for our youth group, my wife and I's youth group. I said, "Lord, bring us the right kids." And for years and years, we had like 4 or 5 kids there, and they were the right kids. Like, those were the kids that we needed to minister to. And then recently I was praying and saying, "Lord, you know, just bring us the kids that you want to bring." And all of a sudden there's all these other kids there. And so it's like God said, "Okay, I'll specifically answer your prayer. But what if there's something else or something more that God desires to do?" And so having the humility to listen, or having the humility to surrender to whatever He wants, I think is like really, really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And it still begs the question, back to the Somalia example at the beginning.
Yeah.
Great. What if God prompted me, God burdened me. I know it's His will. I know it's what He wants. And I'm still not seeing an answer. Mm-hmm. What do I do? It could be His timeline. It might even be God has answered, but it's not in the way you expected or thought or even wanted. One example of that would be when God had burdened my heart with the Hadzabe tribe in East Africa. I went there praying, "God, would you give me a burden bearer?" The name Amos in the Old Testament means burden bearer in the Hebrew language, and like carrying the burdens of God. So I was like, "Lord, would you give one of those among this tribe who would be the burden bearer for you among their own people to make disciples? Like, could you provide that?" So first trip happens, scouting it out, preaching the gospel in different villages, praying for people. All of a sudden, I find myself praying for this guy named Amos. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to give my life to Christ and be trained so that I could reach more people. Lord, you answered. This is the guy. He's it. And then, of course, Nathan, you know, you and I were there after that and continued on with the mission. And we had this lady, Mariamu, who was working with us that whole time, translating, being a part of it. And we really were targeting Amos as an answer to this prayer. We were training him for days and hours and weeks, teaching Bible stories, training him. And then one day when we're back home after multiple trips and many days spent, many weeks spent, even months spent, we hear, hey, you guys remember this other tribal guy? Mariamu, our friend, tells us he died. And we're like, wow, that's really sad. He was like a really fun guy, almost like the class clown of the village, just making people laugh all the time. And he passed away. And we asked her, well, what happened? And she said, well, you remember that guy, Amos? yeah. Well, he turns out he was doing witchcraft and he put a curse on this other guy, Oya. He died. Whatever you believe about that, I don't know. Whatever the case is, Amos was dabbling in witchcraft regardless. So she says he put a curse on him. He died and the village ran Amos out. They were so mad. So he ran to the next village. I'm like, well, what happened at the next village? Well, in the next village, he had another powwow with a witch doctor there and he killed that witch doctor. What? So that village ran him out. Well, what happened in the third village? He stole somebody's food, ate it, for whatever reason, swelled up like a balloon, burst open and died. I'm like, what on earth? That is like, I was so discouraged. Like, God, what the heck? He was the answer to the prayer and it just literally bursted before my eyes in all sorts of ways of the word. Like, that's, it just is, it's gone, it's done. But God had actually been answering all along the way, just in an unexpected way. This Mariamu, who had been with us from the beginning, began to have a vision from God to reach her own people. Burdened her heart, and she had begun to do it, even teaching a village all day long Bible stories and who Jesus is and reaching others. And so all that to say, God may very well be answering or have already answered, and you just don't see it yet. It's in an unexpected way. On the other hand, it might be a waiting timeline. Something I recently thought about and God was showing me is it might very well be that you feel you want God to answer, but you really don't want him to answer yet. Mm. You're not ready for his answer. Had God answered my prayer burden for Somalia early on, I wouldn't have been ready. I wouldn't have wanted it. Looking back, I'm glad he didn't answer. Thank you, God, that you did not answer in my time frame. I would have gotten on a plane, flown to Mogadishu, and said, let's preach in the streets, me and the locals, and our heads would be cut off and put on a stick the next day, probably. I'm not kidding. That would have been my strategy. And now it's a little bit different. God brought me a lot of resources to figure out how to do it effectively in that context. He brought ministry partnerships who could help fuel what God is doing there. I mean, he brought so much that has really impacted what God is doing there. And it wouldn't have happened had it been early on. Same kind of thing. I had a prayer once, Lord, wouldn't it be awesome if we could partner with the Underground Chinese Church and their missions movement? Just a prayer one time that I prayed. And almost like, I don't know if God could, like, how's he ever going to answer this? I don't even know how it's possible. And then it's like plop right in our laps. Unexpected, not asked for, not sought after, God answered. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. But Lord, now we got to figure out, like, how are we going to steward this well and not just ignore it or mess it up? And again, man, okay, now because God has answered, we need to be faithful to steward it. What are we going to do with it? We've been faithful with little. God's asking us to be faithful with a little bit more. How do we do it? And so be encouraged that actually God not answering on your timeline might actually be for your benefit, that he's growing you to be ready to embrace the faithful stewardship of his answer that you're not ready to embrace just yet.
It's good, man. There's so much there.
And I think you did a good job unpacking it. So I don't have a lot to add. But I do just want to emphasize that as we seek the Lord and ask him and make our petitions and pray, that having a willingness and a surrenderness to like, hey, Lord, like this is a desire of mine, but honestly, whatever you want, like that's what I desire. And your time frame and your will and your way, that's what I want. I'm listening to this book. Did you know that Spotify has free audiobooks? It's legit.
No, I didn't know that.
You have a Spotify account. You can listen to free audiobooks like 10 hours a month. Anyway, I've been doing that with all kinds of different books because I'm a terrible reader, but I love to listen. And I'm listening to Humility by Andrew Murray. The full title is a little longer. It's like The Holiness of Humility or something like that. Humility and Holy, whatever. And in this book, Murray is he's emphasizing the importance of like being truly humble, not just like in our actions, not just in our thoughts, but like at the very core of who we are, being truly humble. And one of the outflows, according to him, of humility is allowing God to be God. Basically, it's saying, God, your will, your way, whatever it is, I'm okay with it. And it's your glory and not my glory, and your plan and not my plan. And it's you. And so I think that that's so true. And we have to be cautious of the pride that comes from saying, yeah, it's me. Like, well, I prayed and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, okay, yeah, like maybe you uttered a few words, but God's the one who turned over heaven and earth to make it happen. So let's just live in humility and recognize that God's way is better than our way and his timing is better than our timing. And it's not a cop out. That's the other thing I wanted to say. So often a skeptic would come and say, well, you prayed and it didn't happen. Doesn't that mean that God is not real or not answering? And it's like, no. You misunderstand the dynamic. Like, I'm clay and he's the potter. I'm a sheep and he's the shepherd. Like, I can ask and I can make my request, but he is under no obligation as the maker of heaven and earth to answer. He chooses and wills to do what he likes. And so it's not something for a skeptic to point at and be like, well, obviously. Anyway, just a thought.
Yeah, no, it's true. And I think that answer and the rightful answer, if the skeptic or whoever is looking at those verses, God binds himself to answer prayer that's prayed in his name, in his will, and in his character with what he's doing.
Yeah.
That's what he binds himself to answer, not anything outside of that.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have anything else you wanted to mention before we close out here?
No, I think it's just, hey guys, we encourage you to pray specifically, but consider pausing to say, Lord, what is it that you want to do here? And how would you lead me to pray? Because in that, he's going to shape and mold your heart, and he's going to burden your heart, and he's going to build your faith, and then be humbly patient with his timeline and his answer, knowing that actually it's for your best. He's working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. If you love him and you're in his kingdom, he's working it out for your good. Ultimately for his glory. That's one of the other things in that John 14 passage I mentioned earlier. We'll wrap up with this. And he says, I will answer it. Anything you pray in my name, I will do it for the glory of my Father. So it's ultimately he's glorifying the Father. So your prayer is going to be about God's glory more than about your pleasure. And James says, if it is your pleasure, or if it is asked in your doubt, that God won't answer anything. So come with trust and God will build your faith.
Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining this latest episode of Fuel for the Harvest. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. God bless.